My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network. Thank you for joining me once again for this episode. And can I just say thank you for joining me over the last few years. Since the last episode, we hit 250,000 listens. Now, over 250,000 listens to the episodes of the podcast. So a massive thank you. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've been with me from the start, whether you've listened to one or every single one, a massive thank you. 250,000 listens. Thank you for your ears. And thank you for your messages on the socials as well, whether you've messaged me to be a podcast guest. Got quite a few lined up, but don't put that off getting in touch, because we are always looking for podcast guests, because this podcast will run and run and run and run and run as long as people want to come on and talk. So it doesn't matter when you went, or if you've got a trip coming up, you might want to get it in your diary. Send me a message at PodMagical on the socials. Or if you've got any questions, send those over as well. I've had a question now. I can't read the name of this for obvious reasons, but they're looking for ideas for a 60th birthday for an all-adults trip. Now, I don't know how many adults, and I don't know the age of the adults, but if it's a 60th birthday trip and it's all adults, what about, well, there's obvious things like finding your favourite restaurant, or maybe doing a fireworks dessert party. I often find, like, going to Disney World at birthdays, yes, you get the pin and maybe matching T-shirts and things like that, and letting the birthday person choose their favourite day out. But I think it's always at night when it's nice to celebrate. Maybe you can get in at California Grill, or maybe watch the fireworks from up there. You can get in at California Grill, or maybe keep an eye, and you'll need a VPN to book this, the Savour and Sparkle Celebration at the Top, which is another thing that they do on select nights at California Grill, where there's like a buffet and an open bar, and then you watch your fireworks from a private balcony up there. So that's quite good as well. Again, once you know you've got your favourite restaurant to go to, maybe you could even rent a boat. Maybe your fireworks of preference are over at Epcot. You often see the people in the little pontoon boats. You can hire a boat with a captain. I think it's 9 or 10 people, up to 9 or 10 people. But basically, you just pay for the boat and then you fill it, depending on how many people are in. I think you might get a few soft drinks and snacks. Doesn't it include alcohol? But there's an idea. You can rent a boat. Maybe go for a spa treatment at the Grand Floridian, or maybe do all of the above. When you've been that person, let me know what you didn't and send me some pictures. Maybe we can get you on the podcast as well. But there's some suggestions for a 60th or any birthday, adult birthday, over at Walt Disney World. If you're a Disney adult, have fun. At Pod Magical, if you've got any questions, at Pod Magical is where you can find all the news that's coming in from the parks between podcasts. And at Pod Magical is where you go if you want to come on and chat Disney World. Let's welcome Rich onto the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Rich.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know you haven't been to Walt Disney World for a few years. What, you said about 10?
Yeah.
But
last one was 2016.
But you made up for it, really. You've had quite a lot of visits up till that point.
Yeah, quite a few. I think I've been... it's quite nice when you can say you've lost count. And I haven't quite lost count, but I think I've been 5 times to Orlando in total.
Okay. And do you stay... When did you stay at Disney? Did you stay on site? Did you go fully immersive into the bubble?
Yeah, so it's sort of... progressed over a few years. My last trip, which was 2016, which was a sort of major blowout with my daughter, who's now 22. We went for it, and we stayed at Yacht Club, which was which is our absolute favourite. The time before that, 2 years before, we'd sort of discovered the Yacht Club, and we'd hung out there quite a lot. So we stayed in a villa, but then we sort of discovered the Yacht Club and the Boardwalk, and then we started to use the Yacht Club as a bit of a base. And back in those golden days, you could sneak yourself into Disney resorts quite easily, and just go and have a quick cup of coffee or a drink or something, and then leave your car there all day. So we got into this, quite a nice little habit of, if ever we were going that neck of the woods, we'd sort of head over to Yacht Club, sweet talk the guy on the car park entrance, and then park, and then sort of use the Yacht Club as a bit of a base, which we could use for Epcot and for Hollywood
Hollywood
Studios as
Studios,
well.
yeah.
Yeah.
No more of that next time you go. But you said last time you went, you actually stayed at the Yacht Club.
Yes, we did. So having at that first time when we discovered it, like we that was our first trip when we really became obsessed. So although I'd been five times, the obsession and the love, it wasn't one of those moments when, like some of your guests say, they had the intention of doing a once in a lifetime trip, and then they were immediately smitten. I certainly always loved it, but the time that we really got into it was in that 2014 trip when we did that. And then at the end of that trip, I remember saying to Moll, as we sort of stood there looking at a beautiful sunset on the boardwalk and looking at the Yacht Club, I said, one day we will absolutely stay here. And then we did. Yeah, so we did.
2 years later.
Yeah, we did about nine nights there, and a couple of nights over in Universal as well.
So your ultimate Disney resort, would you say, if you had to pick one, it would have to be the Yacht Club?
I mean, it's tough, isn't it? But I think it's the one that I think we've just fallen in love with. I mean, there's so many things to love about it, including the boardwalk itself is just stunning, and at night time particularly, and then the smell. If you've ever had a chance, I don't know if you've ever popped in there or stayed there, but there's this smell that they pump in. I think they do it in all of the deluxe resorts, sort of, as far as I know, or maybe all of the resorts. But the Yacht Club's got a special smell, and it's just immediately you walk in with a beautiful sort of lobby, and it just feels like home to us, to an extent.
Yeah, a lot of people always say that. So let's go back then. What is it about Walt Disney World that you love? What brought you back time and time again?
Right. Well, prepare yourself.
Oh yeah, we're getting a TED talk.
Yeah, this is I thought hard about this one, because this is like asking me, why do you love your kids? Because this is like, there are so many things to try to capture. So the short answer, I think, is because of how it makes me feel. It just gives me a special sort of joy that just makes life a little bit better, just having Disney in my life, which would sound completely, utterly bonkers to most people, but I'm hoping that for you and for your audience,
This
get that.
community gets it. We
Yeah,
get it, Rich. We get it.
I think you get it. I think people get it. But based on all the previous guests I've heard, I often find myself laughing out loud at some of the things people say, not because I think it's silly, but because I think it's absolutely exactly what I think as well. So yeah, so that's the short answer, just because the overall feeling it gives me. It's not just about going to Disney, as you always say, the opening of your podcast. It's not just about going to Disney. It's the planning to go to Disney. It's the talking about going to Disney. It's the thinking about Disney. It's about watching and listening to any content I can get my hands on. The longer answer is about sort of why do I think it makes me feel this way, and it's quite hard to put this one into words. But one of your previous guests from a while, I've just been catching up on a few since I've discovered your podcast, and I think she was called Ella, and she touched on it really well. She spoke about how her the depth of her feelings were associated with Walt the man himself, and the vision that he'd had, and the sort of those core values that he'd instilled into everything he'd created. And for me, that's quite similar for me. It's not just about the castle or the attractions or the hotels or the food, and much as I love all of that, but there's a depth of emotion for me that just goes way beyond those physical elements. There's a sense of nostalgia, memories. It's a sort of happy, simple innocence about the place, where adults don't mind putting on a pair of Mickey ears and hugging a character. It's just that bubble that so many people talk about. And the other aspect that's really important to me is music. I'm a huge music lover, and music is also a really big part of my connection to Disney World. And I'm quite emotional person generally, and when watching films with a really good soundtrack or whatever. But and I find that music plus a good a really amazing experience can really have quite a profound emotional experience on me in a way that's quite hard to describe. to people. But when you combine music with the Disney magic, you can you can imagine the effect it has on me and the love I've got for music. And I find myself sometimes in life sort of listening to random Disney music, like the main street entrance music, or ride music, or while I'm cooking dinner or something, I'll have YouTube on, and I'll have the Disney the TV channel you get in hotel bedrooms.
I just leave it on.
just there in the background, it's always got this sort of loop music on. It tells you what time the park's open and closed and that sort of thing, and just having that sort of general background. So yeah, the music's another really, really important part of it for me.
Yeah, it's funny you should say music, because it's just that people don't even think about it. Like you said, the Main Street music, or I remember the original Epcot music. It was just there as you're walking around. And I went to Disneyland Paris a few months ago, and there was something missing. It wasn't in the parks. It was around the resorts. You know where they got the big lake at Disneyland Paris by the hotels around there? It's just come out from downtown Disney. I was going, there's something missing here as walking around that's not quite right. And I realised there was no music playing. When I went to Boardwalk, you walk around Boardwalk and there's always music playing everywhere. There's little speakers everywhere.
Yeah,
and it was just missing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I love music anyway, I'm quite obsessed with many aspects of music, whether it's the films. I mean, you know, some of the Disney soundtracks are just phenomenally good. And Alan Menken, who's the composer who composed many of the Disney films, he is, in my view, you know, one of the absolute best living composers of the last 100 years. He really is just a fantastic composer. And I love some of the music that he's written. But then, as you say, some of the theme park music as well, there's just special. And it conveys an atmosphere. And I have a good music story, which I'll save for a bit later in the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, and it's parade music as well. I still sometimes listen to Tapestry of Nations from like 2000 from that parade. And it was just, you know, so original and unique that only if you've been to Epcot for that, you will know that piece of music.
Yes, I don't think I heard that one. But I've got another example of that. In my first, I think it was my first ever trip, which was, about 2001 or something. And again, as I said, I didn't completely sort of get the bug at that point, but I certainly did love it. And there was a parade in what was MGM Studios that was called Stars and Motor Cars Parade.
Yes, Stars and the Cars.
Oh, brilliant. And we bought on that trip, we bought a CD back in the days of CDs, bought a CD, which was like, you know, sort of, I think it was called Magic in the Streets. And it was a brilliant CD. And it had about four of the classic parades. It had, I think it had Animal Kingdom, what's it, Mickey's Jam Jungle. Yeah, that one. And it had one of the main streets, something like Share a Dream Come True or something like that from Magic Kingdom. But the one that we loved was this one. And years and years later, and even now occasionally, if I can find the electronic version of the thing that I got somewhere loaded in a hard drive or something, I'll have it on in the car, and it still has moved. I'm making this publicly. It has moved me to tears, that soundtrack.
That's fine.
I'm in a certain sort of mood.
Yeah, brings back the memories. What do you remember then about that very first visit?
Oh gosh, well it was just after 9/11 actually, so it was. It was very quiet, but you know, it was obviously for the wrong reason. But from a Disney trip perspective, it was quite a good experience. In as much as that, you know, the queues were very low, the parades were really, really easy, just to sort of wander up and get a position right on the rope. You didn't have to wait at all. So I've got patchy memories. We didn't stay on site; stayed in a villa. And I didn't have kids at the time. This was with my ex-wife, and so we did what we knew. We didn't have a clue about the planning. We hadn't booked any dinner, so we were a little bit taken aback when we got there and asked, oh, well, where are the restaurants? And they said, oh, well, we can just about get you into this one at like 4 p.m. or 10 p.m. and that was about it. You know, we hadn't got a clue what we were doing. But there were yeah, and the other thing that I remember particularly from that trip was my first experience of the of Wish's fireworks in Magic Kingdom, which remains it's so special to me. That again, partly because of the soundtrack and partly because of just the classic sort of picture of you know, Main Street with the fireworks going up, the big fireworks, or the big shooting star one going over the top of the castle and that sort of thing.
So you won't have seen Happily Ever After yet then, will you?
No, never seen. Oh, gosh. I may have that included in my perfect Disney day, because
Okay, later on.
I've seen it about 100 times on YouTube,
Yeah.
and I've listened to the soundtrack about 100 times, and I've watched the documentary about how they made the soundtrack, blah 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 blah. So I've seen it, but I've never seen it in the flesh,
Yeah,
and
to experience it.
that would be a really that's something that I'm that you know is I can't wait to, and I'm so glad when they brought that back, because when it went away for whatever the other one was called, which I kept hearing, reasonably lukewarm reaction to, I was thinking, oh gosh, I've missed Happily Ever After completely, and so I was pleased when they brought it back. So I just pray they don't take it away again soon.
Well, unless they bring back Wishes, I
Well,
mean.
yes. Well, I sort of wish they. I suppose it must be harder with fireworks to do that sort of thing. But I wish, excuse the pun, that they would do one of those sort of retro, single day when they could just bring back Wishes occasionally. Because I don't think they've, as far as I know, they've never done that, unless you know any differently,
No,
Andy.
that I don't. Well, I know that. I think they did it like maybe once or twice for cast members, like special after hours parties just for cast members who've been there a certain amount of times, and they brought it back once. But that would be
Amazing.
good, because I know Disneyland in California, they do like retro nights. So to do something like that and a ticketed event and bring back Wishes, people will go crazy for it.
Oh my God, I think it would be I think it would be so popular. I love Wishes so much. I found a guy on the on YouTube who's a good pianist, and obviously also a Disney guy, and he's done piano arrangements of both Wishes and Happily Ever After. So I managed to get hold of the Wishes one, which was one of the more exciting days of my life, when my Wishes piano score arrived, and I could actually sit down and try to hack my way through the Wishes soundtrack, which is fiendishly difficult at times, but it's
Yeah.
still absolutely joyous to give me a chance to do that.
So what would be your ultimate Disney World memory then? That one treasured memory, the big one memory.
Right, well, I'm going to cheat and give you a couple.
That's
Um,
fine.
but the um, so the short the first one I'll mention was Yacht Club. There was, as I said, we spent a lot of time there before we ever stayed there, and when we did then stay there, I remember saying to Mol, sorry, I hadn't mentioned Mol before, but Mol's my daughter, who's 22. But we spent a lot of my trips to Disney were before I'm with my with in my current family setup, with my two young kids. But a lot of my time has been spent in Disney with Mol, so there's a lot of connection I've got with Mol. And I remember saying to her, when we go to Yacht Club, just really try to just enjoy that moment. And as we just drove in through that main entrance, which is quite grand, you drive in, just remember just savoring the fact that we were about to be staying at the Yacht Club, which
Yeah.
was absolutely spectacular. And then there's a little bit of pixie dust with that trip as well, because I tried to get a water view room, couldn't get one in terms of this normal booking process. But when I went into reception, I just asked, I said, any chance of water view room? And they said, oh no, sorry, sir, we haven't got anything available. So I was thinking, oh, never mind, it's still Yacht Club, I'm not going to complain. And then I don't know whether it was, I'm guessing, look, with hindsight, I'm guessing it was a bit of deliberate pixie dust, although they didn't tell me. But because when we got to our room, it was an absolute spectacularly beautiful room with the best water view room over the boardwalk. And it was
Right.
just, oh God, it was amazing just to be able to sit on that balcony with a beer, and then Mol would always take about an hour to get ready for every night, so I'd be done in about 10 minutes, and I'd just sit there on the balcony with a beer and reading my book, or just looking out. So that was a special moment of finally
Yeah.
staying in there. And then the other one I'm going to mention is the musical anecdote that I told you about. And again, another bit of pixie dust, really, which was before we went in 2016, I think. Well, just quickly going back to 2014, we'd gone to Grand Floridian, and which I love, just hanging out, wandering around there, having a drink and soaking up that lovely atmosphere. And you've probably seen the pianist in there, who there's a gorgeous piano down on the in the lobby, like
Yeah.
a 12-foot Steinway, which is eye-wateringly expensive to buy. And he's a brilliant pianist, and we went and listened to him, we had a chat with him, and that was great. And then before I went in 2016, I wrote to Disney and said, is there any chance I could play the piano in the Grand Floridian? And they sent me a very nice letter back and said, we're sorry, we get asked this sort of thing quite a lot, I'm afraid
Yeah.
we can't agree it. So I thought, oh well, there we are, never mind, it was always worth asking. And then when we got to our room in Yacht Club, in the room was a one of those Disney picture frames that you can buy in the gift shops with the little Mickey ears carved into the frame, and in the picture of the inside the picture frame was a photo of the pianist whose name I think was Wes, and picture the pianist playing the piano and the grand flute again, and Wes had written on the picture, "Dreams can come true," and that was it, and signed it Wes. So I
Okay.
thought, oh, that's interesting, and I thought, well, I didn't quite know what to make of it because it was like, well, is that just him trying to be nice because we couldn't play the piano, or was there a little sort of coded message there? So I thought, well, I'll go over to there anyway because we were always going to go over there. So we went over there, had to listen to Wes playing, had a drink, had a chat, and introduced myself. And he said, oh, well, you can do you want to play? And I said, well, of course I'll come.
I'm not allowed.
Of course. And he said, yeah, it's fine. Just when do you want to come? So we arranged a time to come back, and then a couple of days later, I went back and I played "I See the Light" from Tangled, which is I just thought that would be a nice sort of back
Beautiful.
music. And it was oh, it was just that was an amazing memory because the tour the punters were around, and I don't know whether they could perhaps people realise that I wasn't the normal guy because I didn't have my black tie on. So
Mickey ears on and
yeah,
and a
exactly.
t-shirt.
So I played this piece and I sort of milked it to within an inch of its life in terms of Disney cheesiness and all the best chords I could think of and so on. And it was just that was an amazing memory, and my daughter filmed it and we put that onto YouTube, and that was the closest that I've ever come to going viral. It got reshared a few times. I mean, this is nothing in the scale of real people who do things on the internet, but for me to, I think going over like a couple of thousand views or something like that was absolutely unheard of for my simple little life. So yeah, that was one of my real lifelong memories, that one.
Yeah. Well, I really want to see that video now. Maybe we could share it on our Instagram. Let's see if we can work out a way of doing
Oh
that one,
yeah,
Rich.
well, I'm always happy to increase my views by a few more, Andy.
Let's get some latest news from Walt Disney World. Before I give you the big news, let me just tell you, I've just spotted a couple of weeks ago, they've started selling handle covers for resort mugs. You know your resort refillable mug, the plastic one that's free if you got on the dining plan. You can swap the handles for it now, or you can get like a cover for it, and there's different ones, different favourite characters. They're about $4.99 and they just clip on. Saw that, thought it was worth putting in the news. Right, let me get to the big stories now. We had an update on the Carousel of Progress. We know that the Walt animatronic is coming to the iconic attraction at Magic Kingdom. Well, we have found out that July the 6th will be the closing date for the Carousel of Progress, and then it really is getting a bigger update than just the Walt animatronic. It's moving eras. So, you know, there are four different scenes. Well, it's going to go from like the early 1900s. So the first scene is actually going to start in the 1960s. So it's going to be more about Walt's eras. So the first scene with the 1960s, then moving on to the 80s, then the new millennium, and then Act 4, the last one, will be the possible future. So only a month or so to go and see the attraction as it is. July the 6th, it'll be closing, and then it will reopen at some point next year into 2027. We've also got more details about the new Magic of Disney animation at Disney's Hollywood Studios. In fact, a full map has been released about everything that's got in there. Drawn to Wonderland, which is an indoor playground inspired by Mary Blair. There's Olaf Draws, so the animation classes are going to be back. Off the Page, which is the character experience celebrating Disney's animation history. And then there's also a Once Upon a Studio Theatre, which is, I think, could be like more like an interactive exhibition. So that will should be opening before the end of the year over at Hollywood Studios. Obviously, they've opened that courtyard now, which look brilliant, by the way. Look what they've done to it. And having been to the actual Walt Disney Studios in Burbank in California earlier this year, to see what they put in. So the entrance to the car park to the studios looks like what they put into the entrance to that courtyard now. And there's even little Pluto's Corner that they've got, which is quite iconic. I love what they've done. It's like a taste of old school Disney history, an old bite into Disney MGM Studios. And talking about old bites, there's some fresh flavours over at California Grill at the Contemporary, if you are lucky enough to get a reservation over there. Hearth steamed saffron mussels, artichoke flatbread. There's a seasonal flatbread. There's a Wagyu strip loin, domestic lamb, whatever that is, and some new drinks as well, including the maple bourbon old fashioned, which has caught my eye. If you want to go and celebrate at the top at California Grill, well, lucky getting a reservation. And don't forget, stick around to watch the fireworks from up there. Any more news between now and the next podcast, find it all on our socials at Pod Magical. Give us a follow and a like. We are joined by Rich on this episode of the podcast. He's played the piano at the Grand Floridian, you know, but he hasn't been for about 10 years. Have you got any plans on going back soon? Because I know you said you've got little kids now. So
yeah,
I'm guessing you've been thinking about it, yeah. If not booked it.
Very much thinking about it for a long time. I think the kids are a little, but they're now growing up. We decided we couldn't quite face the idea of going across the Atlantic with a very, very young one, and then having it with another one, and then so it just took a while to get heads into that zone. But I think we're sort of getting there now. We've been to Paris a couple of times with the little ones, which was lovely, and we are definitely planning on going back to Paris fairly soon. Although I haven't booked that yet, but we definitely want to go again fairly soon to see the new Frozen land and so on. And so hopefully that will be quite imminent. And I also promised Mol for her 21st birthday. I gave her a sort of golden ticket and said that we'll have one last little special trip, just the two of us as well. So we're going to go to Paris as well. I promised her we can stay in the new Disney, you know, the refurbished hotel. Which again, when you've got five people in your family, anything like that just becomes eye watering. Which is the same reason we could stay in the yacht club, because only two of us we could you know
get squeeze in one room. Yeah, definitely.
Very different with the big family. But so we'll definitely do Paris, I think, a couple of times in the next year or so. But I think I've now sort of got my eye on probably maybe 2028 or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the, you know, we are going to go again. And I've been sort of starting the saving, and I've been sort of, you know, preparing the way with my fiance Rebecca, who loves Disney, loves Disney film, but isn't really a Disney World aficionado, and doesn't
have not yet.
So no, I've got to work on Beck a little bit as well to make sure that she's into it too.
I'm guessing now is a good time just to hold off for a couple of years with so many new things in the planning, like, you know, the Monsters Inc. at Hollywood Studios and the Cars attraction at Magic Kingdom, and then maybe Villains Land and everything that's gone on at Animal Kingdom. So probably over the next couple of years, there's going to be so many new things. So it is probably worth holding back just for a couple of years as well, and then doing that big all-in trip.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Although, to be honest, as you said earlier, there's so many things now that I haven't experienced.
Yeah.
I could fill up weeks of just doing all these things that I haven't seen. Galaxy's Edge, I haven't seen, I haven't done any of those rides. I haven't been on Guardians, I haven't seen Guardians. You know, there's so many things. I haven't seen the Skyliners yet. So I'm very excited about a lot of things like that we just simply haven't seen in the flesh before.
But as it stands right now, what's your favourite attraction?
Right, favourite attraction. I think rides-wise, It was a close contest between some of the old classics, Aerosmith, Hollywood Tower, Test Track, Everest. But
firstly, Aerosmith's now Muppets, so there's another new.
I know. My jury is out, because I have a love of the Aerosmith ride, but we'll see. I haven't watched that one on YouTube yet, so I don't know what to think about
it. It's the same ride, but Muppetified.
I don't know. We'll see. I like Muppets, but I just have so many memories of Aerosmith. But anyway, but the one that I really love ride-wise is Soarin'. Absolutely adore Soarin'. And Soarin's got a bit of a special place in our heart for a couple of reasons. The soundtrack is stunning, and that's another one that I managed to dig out a piano version of as well. So that's good fun as well, playing through Soarin'. Also incredibly difficult to play properly, but really good fun. And I love the music. It's written, I can't remember the guy's name now, but he's a quite a well-known film composer who does the Soarin' soundtracks, and I love that. But the other thing that we love about Soarin', me and Mol developed a real love of Patrick, the flight steward.
Yeah, the safety announcement.
Just became a little bit obsessed with the whole thing with Patrick. And so ever since then, you know, even now I still call Mol Pal quite regularly. And that isn't so much because of the because of the Mickey calling people pal is actually mainly because of a nice work pal, and so that was really cool. So we really love Soarin', and for her 20 no for her 18th birthday actually with Mark, I arranged through another online community. I asked anyone who was in Orlando if they'd be willing to do little videos from Disney World, so we could do like a montage of things for Molly, put together into a sort of happy birthday message for her, which people really kindly did. We had a fantastic video. And one of the things I mentioned that I how much we love Soarin', and someone really kindly spoke to one of the flight attendants. So the cast members in Soarin', and they actually did a special message to Mol, and it talks about how Patrick, your flight attendant, also wants to wish you happy birthday, and then he's just finished by saying, "Nice work, pal." That was one of the best of the lot. That one. So that was fun. And then the other thing, attraction wise, I really love that. Perhaps I don't think I've ever heard mentioned on your pod before, Andy, but is Voices of Liberty in Epcot. Have you come across them before?
Many times. You know what? Because that's such a beautiful area for them to perform. But I remember a few times they also used to perform on the stage as well, before the days of festivals all the time. But yeah, the Voices of Liberty. Yes.
They're brilliant. I mean, I love, as I've told you about 100 times already, I love music, and I sing in a choir myself as well. And they are fantastic. And the arrangements of the music they have is really good arrangements as well. So I really love those, and it's just such a lovely thing to sit and sit so close and have a chat to them afterwards. So that's real. That's a little sort of unsung, perhaps less well known thing for some people. So I'd certainly recommend that. And then actually, I think Voices of Liberty then spun off. There's another choir called Vocative, who are not directly linked with Disney, but they're very much linked with Disney, because I think a lot of them used to be members of Voices of Liberty, and they're now quite famous. They tour around, mainly around America, but hoping one day they might come to the US, so we go to the UK, and they do loads of like Disney music in fantastic arrangements. So yeah, so Voices of Liberty has sort of spawned a bigger, well, not a bigger choir, same very small group, but a bigger thing now.
Yeah, and of course at Candlelight, when it's Candlelight Processional, it's the Voices of Liberty plus a bigger choir plus an orchestra. Have you experienced that one?
No, I never have, actually. Another podcast I used to listen to until I defected to yours.
listen to both. There's many.
There's only so many hours I can squeeze.
Yeah. I appreciate.
even in my life, Andy, there's so many hours I can squeeze in. But this other one was really always going on about the Candlelight Processional, but I've never yet had the chance to do that. You've done that.
Stunning. Couple of times. Yeah, it's such a small window because it only starts, I think it's at Thanksgiving, so it's the last Thursday in November, and it goes through to about the 30th of December, just after Christmas. So you've only got like maybe 4 weeks, and it's very difficult to get in. You need to do a dining package, but yeah, it's such an incredible experience. And you sit in there watching it and listening to it, and you go, I'm in a theme park. This is included.
Yeah. I went that first trip of mine after 9/11 was around Christmas, so there were some Christmassy things up then. So yeah, I haven't been around Christmas since then, and there were a few special moments actually because of the Christmas thing. I remember doing the Mickey's Christmas party thing, and when they have the snow coming down Main Street at the end of the night, that was a bit of a special moment. And back in those days as well was the old Osborne Festival of Lights, which I never got to see. Oh, that was great though. I can't, no recollection of where on earth that was. I've got no memory of that, other than remembering it being just like a street with some amazing houses and some amazing lights in it.
But that would be Hollywood Studios, which is now where Baseline Tap House is, as you walk in down to into Star Wars. It would have been down there, which is all completely different now, of course. Let's talk food. Did you have any particular favorite restaurants?
Yeah, a couple again. Rather old school, but I think they're both still around. Although our one favourite particularly was the Yachtsman Steakhouse in the Yacht Club, which was. Have you been there?
I have. Love their garlic bread.
Yeah, lovely. Actually, I don't remember if they have the garlic bread actually, but the but we had a lovely charcuterie. There was a really nice charcuterie board. I mean, it's just a really pleasant. I mean, again, because we love the Yacht Club anyway, but it was just a lovely place to go and have a meal, and we had fillet steak, and we had this lovely charcuterie board. So yeah, that was quite special. And again, we met there the first time I think before we'd ever stayed there, so it was just nice to have another excuse to excuse to go and sort of spend some more time in the yacht club. That's one that we've still got affinity to. I think it's still around as far as I know, but I think it might be closed for refurbishment at the moment, from what I could, when I did a quick Google the other day on it. And then also, old favourite of many of your guests, California Grill. We did back in the days before it was the sort of fixed price menu. We did the classic sort of what went for dinner and had a really lovely meal. Again, I think we might have had pushing the boat out again. Might have had another fillet steak there as well. And then did the just went out onto the balcony with a glass of wine and like a mocktail or something the mole would have had, and just stood on the balcony and watched Wishes with the music playing on the balcony. And I think that we saved that one, I think, till the end, the very last night of the trip, I think, sort of knowing it was going to be a bit of a special one. So yeah, those are probably the two favourites.
Last time I went, actually, I went to the, and it was the first time I've ever done it. I sat at the bar at California Grill, which I've never done before. We had to get there quite early, like 5 o'clock when it opened. We just sat at the bar. I think there's about a dozen spaces at the bar where you can order anything off the menu. So anything off like the three courses, you can pick what you want and have a drink. And the tender behind the bar, she was brilliant. She was so much fun. I think she'd worked there for years. And then they said, keep your receipt. If you want to come back later on tonight at 10 o'clock, watch the fireworks, do it. We didn't, because we'd already had a reservation, but yeah, that was a great thing to do, sitting at the bar in California.
Yes, that's I heard about that, the fact you could do that and go earlier and then come back later. And actually, I didn't know you could. You can just order individual dishes off that fixed price menu.
You sure can. There's a little bar menu as well, so there's actually a few extra things that they have. But then, if there's anything you want from the main menu, because you just sat at the bar.
Yeah, that's something you might definitely do that. And because I think that's one area that we began to explore it the last time, but we didn't really, I don't think, did it justice yet. But the number of like nice lounges that you can do, where you can just rock up and get a table and just sort of have a drink and but still be part, just still sort of soaking up the atmosphere of wherever you are. Another one that I really want to go to, I haven't done, is Nomad Lounge, that I keep hearing good things about as well.
That's nice. They're definitely tapping into adults at Disney, definitely, and more lounges. And they see, like, we can charge $18, $19, $20 for a cocktail. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. There must be things now that have gone from Disney World since you were there last. Is there anything you're sad that they've said goodbye to?
I think I'll give an honourable mention to the original test track, because there's just something so much fun about that, and I can't really explain why, because it was quite fast at the end, but it wasn't like, it's not the most amazing thrill ride, but it was just something we always loved about that, and that original one with the the crash test dummies and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I enjoyed the next iteration as well. I haven't obviously seen the latest one yet, so that's one that I'll definitely give an honorable mention to. But again, as I've already mentioned, I think the one that I immediately wrote down for this one was Wishes, just because I've got this deep love there's that moment. I think the moment in the bit in that particularly I love is there's a very near the end when they absolutely go full pelt with the big fireworks, and the music playing in the soundtrack is of course When You Wish Upon a Star, and with the full sort of the orchestra going at it in at the max, and there's just that moment when you've got the classic, the giant, I'm never seeing fireworks. Although, again, I dare say if I go to see Happily Ever After now in the flesh, I'll be able to update that with this opinion. But I don't think I've ever seen fireworks like I've seen Wishes. I've been to Paris, several times, enjoyed their fireworks, but it hasn't been a patch on Wishes. And I think that moment near the end when you've got the big, the massive fireworks.
Yeah, let them all off.
Yeah. just spectacular. So I really do miss that. And I'm still holding out hope that they might bring it back.
Maybe one day. Right, talk me through your ideal Walt Disney World day. Now, you haven't been for a few years, so it's up to you how you're spending your day. Right. It could be new stuff that you're excited to go on or whatever. It's your day, Rich. Talk me through it.
Well, this was the challenge. Do I go old school, or do I try to take a few leaps? In the end, I've probably gone reasonably old school. So first thing, I'll be staying at the Yacht Club again, and I'm going to get up for an early run around the boardwalk with Mol. We did this once before when we were staying there, and we had a lovely a run, and it was during one of the rainy moments when I think the rides were down and stuff. So we went out, and it was just a little bit damp, and so we went out for a nice run around the boardwalk, and then she had enough. She was only about 13 at the time, so she went back for a chill out, and I went into Epcot and I ran around around all the way around Epcot as well. And at that moment, the heavens absolutely opened. I mean, you know, the most extreme of the Orlando storms. It was absolutely battering down, and everyone was taking shelter apart from me, who was running in the middle of the street all the way around World Showcase, and everyone who was watching, I kept getting shouts of like, run Forrest, run, and that sort of thing. So that was really funny. So we're going to start with the run around the boardwalk, and then perhaps even just run over to Hollywood Studios and back just to get a few more steps in. Then we're going to have coffee and a pastry on the boardwalk for breakfast and a little bit of people watching in the morning sun. Then we're going to stroll over to Epcot through our favourite international gateway. So easy to go back and forth there. And then hit a few of the classic Epcot rides, Soarin' for sure, and do a bit more people watching, probably have a cocktail somewhere in World Showcase. Definitely going to put Guardians on the list for this one because I've never been on it, and certainly I almost guarantee that I'd love it. So we're going to be doing Guardians at this point. Also nipping into America in the World Showcase to watch Voices of Liberty. And then we're going to nip out again of Epcot and pop over to Hollywood Studios, probably on the boat for a change of scenery. And we're going to do some of the old favourites. I'm still calling it Aerosmith, Andy. You can call it Muppets if you want.
Yeah, let's call it Rock and Roller Coaster.
We'll do Rock and Roller Coaster. We'll do Tower of Terror, another absolute favourite. And I think I'll have to put in some element of Galaxy's Edge in there. I keep hearing how amazing Rise of the Resistance is, so we'll be going on Rise. And then we came to sort of going through to the afternoon. I was debating about how we'd finish this day and whether I was going to take a punt and head over to somewhere like Riviera, which I'd love to see. And as I said, I haven't been on a Skyliner before. And I also keep hearing great things about Topolino's. But in the end, I've decided to stay old school. So we're going to head on to the monorail loop. We're going to go to Grand Flow for a nice drink there, soak up the atmosphere.
Bit of piano.
And I'm going to elbow off the pianist, and I'm going to play the entire Wishes soundtrack on the piano. And in my fictional dream world, I can actually play it because I can't in real life. It's far too difficult. And then we're going to wander off down to Polly, and we're going to go to Trader Sam's for another pre-dinner drink, which is another place we went last time. I managed to get in, and it was really, really good fun. So we're going to nip into Trader Sam's and have a. I remember, I think I had a hurricane in Trader Sam's, and it was like, and I'd had no spoilers about either for Trader Sam's, so I didn't have a clue what was going to happen.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah.
And it was hilarious. I ordered this hurricane, and next minute, as I'm sure you know, and many people will know, you know, that moment the whole lights of the place change, and there's like thunder starts clapping, and all the crowd, all the bar staff were like shouting whatever they shout. That was just love that. So we'll be going there, and I think while we're there, we might also, in this fictional world, we have all the time we need, so we're going to probably do a little quick DVC tour there. I think is it the new tower in Polynesian, is that
there? Is, and they're also building another resort as well, the other side of the lake towards Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah, what's that called again? I heard
is it called Lakeside Lodge, top of my head, I think.
Yeah,
something like that.
So anyway, we'll definitely go and do a little tour of that, because it's always good fun doing the DVC tours. And then finally, we'll hop on the monorail and end up go over to California Grill and do have dinner there, and make sure we time that to watch Happily Ever After on the terrace with another. Gosh, I'm drinking quite a lot of cocktails on this dream day, which wasn't necessarily the intention, but I'll
remember any of it.
I'll go with it anyway. Oh, and then also there'll be extra hours for resort guests on that day, so we're definitely We're going to stay on and pop into Magic Kingdom and do a bit over there as well. So that's a pretty full day, I think.
Well, if I was to comment on that plan, I'd say, nice work, pal. Well done. Thank you for chatting to us on the podcast, Rich. Hopefully you'll get to go back in a few years' time when the kids are a little bit bigger and there's all new things and you've saved up, so that will be cool.
I hope so too. I'm sure we will. And thanks again for having me. It's been an absolute treat.
And have a magical day.
Same to you.
And if you want to join me on the podcast, send me a message. As I mentioned before, we're always looking for podcast guests. I've got quite a few people lined up, but it doesn't matter, because we will run and run and run with this podcast as long as people come on to talk. The minute I don't get a guest, that's when we have to say, that's the end of the podcast. But for now, we continue. At Pod Magical, send me a message. If you are going to be going over the next few weeks, we are into cool kids summer now. So there's no festivals going on at Epcot. There's no Halloween parties yet at Magic Kingdom. Christmas parties that are going to be coming as well. So it's really summer fun at Disney at the minute. Cool kids summer. I didn't really understand the concept of this. They've been doing this for a couple of years. But I think I get it now. I think I get it. Every park has got somewhere for kids just to have fun and be kids. So you know that Bluey has arrived at Animal Kingdom. It's not a meet and greet. It's like a big play session indoors with Bluey. And I've seen a lot of people going, adults are going, well, I went over there and it was rubbish. Well, it's not for you. It's not for adults to go and get a picture with Bluey. This is somewhere for kids to have fun and play games with their favourite characters. Cool Kids Summer. So you've got Bluey over at Animal Kingdom. There's Goofy Core at Epcot. Again, that's indoor at CommuniCore. You've got the Jessie's Rodeo thing going on at Frontierland. And then there's the whole new area that's opened up at Hollywood Studios. These are places we go. The characters are there, but they're not just standing for pictures and doing autographs. They're actually having fun and playing games with kids. And the bulk of them are actually indoors in air conditioning in the Florida heat in summer. Cool kids summer, I understand. Temperatures, by the way, as we're talking about the weather, between 22 and 32 degrees. So even the coolest time in the middle of the night is going to be 22 degrees, 32 the high, the humidity is hitting. The pound to dollar at the minute is 1.35. The crowd, moderate, but very busy at weekends, just getting busier as we head towards summer. And of course, the 4th of July is only a month away. Big celebrations for the 250th. Celebration of America with the fireworks happening not just on the 4th of July, but the 3rd, 4th and 5th at Magic Kingdom, just the 4th at Epcot. We've got some gigs in Orlando. If you want to go and see Charlie Puth, he is going to be playing at the Kia Center. That's the big arena in downtown Orlando. 5 Seconds of Summer and Noah Kahan also there as well over the next few weeks. SeaWorld are about to start their Electric Ocean, which is their big summer event with pyros and fireworks at night. That starts on the 12th of June. So just over a week, runs right through summer into September. And I'm ending the podcast with a tip. I always like a tip. I'm always looking for new things to do at Disney World. I do love a character meal. Did you know there is a unique character breakfast at Disney World that actually isn't in Disney World? If you fancy doing something different, check out the Four Seasons Hotel. Thursdays and Saturdays, they have a character buffet breakfast. Mickey, Minnie and Goofy are down there. This is the Four Seasons. You're going to have to get an Uber, or if you've got a car, you can drive down there. Sometimes I think they might do it on a Tuesday as well, but it's mostly Thursdays and Saturdays. It might be a little bit cheaper than in-park character dining. But if you want to do something different, have a bit of a mooch around a posh hotel, the Four Seasons, for breakfast with Mickey and friends, Thursdays and Saturdays. Check out their website. You'll have to book it through the Four Seasons website in Orlando. There you go. There's a top tip to end the episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Yep, back in 2 weeks, another guest, more news, more tips, more memories to share. Once again, thank you if you've been listening to the podcast over the last few years. 250,000 listens. Until next time, please stand clear of the doors.